Radar, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys.
Emotional day. How was it telling the boys?
Yeah, that was the toughest. Going in there and telling the boys, she just gave me the nod and I had to walk down the stairs and I thought, oh, I'm okay here. And then I started walking down and I saw the boys and they're just all looking at me. And I stood at the front, stepped down the first step and I just lost it. And so it took a while. I felt like I was not speaking for about 20 minutes, but it was probably only a couple of minutes. But, yeah, that was a pretty emotional time.
Well, it's a long period of your life, isn't it? You came to the club in 2001 as an 18-year-old then, and you've 14 years later. So it's been an enormous part of your life. You know, you've made Adelaide your home, so it is difficult to let go, I guess.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, getting the injury and then having a bit of time away from the club, I got the passion back for footy again, and I missed being down there with the boys and just the camaraderie, you know, bit of the, you know, what it's like in the locker room, the jokes and the banter between each other. But, you know, to get back down there now and help out the younger boys and help out the team on the weekend, each weekend, I'm looking forward to it.
So if we go and we talk about the injury, first of all, how far into your recovery are you? We're still led to believe you haven't quite made the full recovery. Are you happy with the progress that's been going on?
Yeah, my progress is I've surprised a lot of the doctors, and so that's a positive. They're quite clear that I've still got a little bit to go, which I'm going to be pretty diligent with that recovery and keep looking after themselves because it was a pretty serious injury. So at the moment, just enjoying my time back down the club and looking after myself as much as possible.
Do you remember anything of the incident?
I don't remember any of the whole day at all.
What about when you're in hospital and that? Nice ICU, how scary is all that?
Yeah, ICU is not a very nice place, but the staff at the Royal Adelaide Hospital, they are fantastic. Yeah, the nurses are great. The doctors are great. I'm glad they're getting a new hospital. It's going to help the state because we've got some of the best neurosurgeons here in Adelaide, and if we can get some more people over here, hopefully not for those injuries, but they were fantastic.
And I certainly don't want to over-dramatise it, but we'd only just lost Philip Hughes. And I remember when Bix saw it, the whiteness in your eyes when you knew, because you're so close. You used to put how many games, Bix, come on, Tim, how many games?
I looked up to that. We played seven games.
That's good. That's all right.
But it was scary. I felt for your wife. I felt for your family. You know, they flew in immediately. We don't get any information in the media. You know, you're sending texts, you get nothing back. It would have been a horrendous time without over-dramatising it.
But yeah, it was pretty scary. I think Jamie got the phone call and had to rush into the hospital, which is pretty scary. And Mum and Dad got the phone call and they were on the flight while I had the surgery. So it would have been scary for them. But, you know, as I said, the hospital were great to my family and even the boys that walked in there too, so it was good.
Sorry, Jamie's out the back to rehash all that. She's right over your left shoulder. I can see her straight through the window there, and I can see her face drop when I mention that. So yeah. We don't want to relive it, but I think the listeners want to hear, you know, the story, so sorry about that.
What about in terms of the decision to retire, in the end, I guess, with the information in front of you, it probably wasn't a difficult one, was it?
Not really. I think it was always something that I thought about when I obviously got home from hospital, and football was obviously very far away from my mind. And but when I got all the medicos in together and they unanimously said that I cannot play football again, I took that quite seriously. It was hard to hear, but at the same time, it's your health, and there's better things in life than chasing a footy round.
And your prognosis is great. That's the important thing, and there's a lot of work to do. We hear you're doing speech pathology, and what else you do?
Yeah, that's all completed at the moment.
Just mate, you sound good. You look good. What's wrong with you? You're in a headlock. He's always fantastic. Well, he does. Oh, have a look at him.
Yeah.
He looks healthier than you, Bix.
Oh, I know, but he was always the good-looking rooster.
Oh, he is. He
takes a lot of pride.
Hey, where's number three? Hey. But you do. You sound great. You look great.
Yeah, well,
I'm
that's,
glad you come in, right?
Recovery's good, and as I said, I'm looking forward to taking on the role of being a coach for the last half of the season, and really looking forward to it.
So what's that going to involve? Anything you can share with us, or are you just going to do some development stuff? I heard you're going to be in the box and doing something.
Yeah, game day, I sit in the box rocks with the coaches and work closely with Darren Milburn, our defensive coach. Occasionally I might have a bit of a say when I get a bit confident and might say something to Walshy if he give me a tip.
Hey, he's got crazy eyes.
But a lot of stuff with the development kids and trying to get them up and going. We've got a lot of injuries at the moment, so helping those guys get back into playing some good footy, and hopefully we can have a we've won some games already, but if we can get all those boys back on the park, we're a pretty good team.
Have you seen the improvement in the group? We certainly have. I know it's only six games, but you're there, you're living it.
Well, if you look at it now, we've got some... I've never seen so many injuries we've had at the club for a long time, and we're still winning games of footy. Yeah. And I think that's a positive. And I think all the supporters out there should be quite excited about the list we've got with the amount of injuries we've got out and who we've got out. So, we've got another test this week with Sloane out, so someone's got to come in and take his role. We're very confident that we're going to go out there and get the 4 points.
Let's talk about a little bit of your career.
Let's reminisce.
Yeah, 2001, you were part of that super draft. So let's have a listen to these names. In the first round, there was seven guys who played 200 games. Hodge, Ball, Judd, Bartel, Del Santo, James Kelly and yourself. So you're an elite company. You came through with those guys who were standout players, and you've been able to play 200 games. That's a great effort.
Yeah, it was a bit of a super draft. Probably wasn't known as a super draft for a while there, but as those boys, as we got along and played footy against each other, and I guess that was a bit of a spur too, see those blokes, how well they went, and thought, geez, I can do this too. So that was a bit of a barometer for me to chase that. And, as I said, it's great to be known as a 200-plus game player with those fantastic players.
Two prelim finals, 10 finals overall, two pre-season premierships. So there was lots of opportunities there. And just, I guess, the years you would look back on, I'm interested in, 05 and 06, you probably dominated the competition but didn't quite get there. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. I think we won 11 games in a row at one stage. I think that was 2006. And what a place to be around when you're winning 11 games in a row.
Yep.
The vibe around the club was great. We just went out there and we were so confident. We just knew we were going to win every game. And to make the prelim in both those years and to lose, I guess the 2006 one hurts the most. I think we're up by 20-something points at half-time.
Was that the Cousins one? He just ran off his feet?
They come out, out after half-time and blitzed us, and I think we lost by 9 points in the end. So that was pretty tough to take. And the 2012 one, Bix, you were involved in that one. We were the underdogs, but so I'll tell you what, we were so close to beating Hawthorn that day. It was unbelievable. But the way we played that final series as the underdogs all the time, it really put the competition on notice.
I guess you played lots of different positions. You started off, you were sort of a half-forward flanker. You played in the midfield. You played as a tagger. Then you went back and had probably your best year in 2012, making the All-Australian squad. Where did you enjoy most and where did you always want to play?
When Craigie took over for the last half of 2004, he put me at half back, and that's where I felt so comfortable with the play ahead of me. I could read it and take some marks. I could
elite
use my
ball
kick.
Use courage.
Yeah, so those sort of things that I looked at. But in leading up to that 2004 season, Craigie wanted to play me in the midfield because I think you were on your way out, Bix, and
well and truly.
But that's just the way the way the game unfolds, and he really wanted me to play in the midfield, so I worked hard on my fitness and my skills around the ball. And I guess after that year, we just played in midfield, and I just really enjoyed it. I played a bit of half forward in the midfield, and swapping with Rui wasn't pleasant at times because he wanted to stay in there all the time.
But I had one of them too.
I said, to learn from some of those great players, and Bix is one of those players to learn off was a privilege.
Who are the biggest influences over that journey?
Simon Goodwin, as I said in my press conference today, Simon Goodwin, Michael Dowdy and Mark Ricciuto were the blokes that sort of, they took me under their wing and taught me some good things and some things that probably wouldn't say on radio. But
so you're a good drinker then?
Oh, look, we had a good time. That was when the times you could have a good time. Yeah. Now you can't have a good time at all anymore because it's so very, very strict out there at the moment.
Has it changed for the better, do you think? You go back 14 years to now. I know the game's brutal, and tip my hat off at how tough you all are. But it's changed, hasn't it?
Oh, the game.
The expectation, us and the media, look at everything.
The game's so fast, and you know, all the money is from the media, and the media want to get everything that every player's doing. And if you just say, if you stuff up just one little bit, it could cost your career in the end. So it's not even worth going out and having a drink. It's probably better off just going to someone's house and having a few beers. But hopefully it doesn't affect, you know, boys going out and having a good time. But at the same time, as soon as that siren goes, you know, after the weekend, you're thinking about the week after and when you're playing and what recovery you have to do. And that's one thing that's changed.
So the downtime is a lot less, basically, is what you're saying.
It is, yeah.
I guess you're unfortunate in the last couple of years. In 2013, you had the shoulder reconstruction, then you had a frustrating year in 14, and then obviously injured in this preseason. So, you know, when people talk about playing every game as if it's your last, you just have to do that because you just don't know, do you?
Oh, exactly right, Vix. You know, I played some good played my best footy I've played my whole career in 2012, and then 2013 was a bit of a slow start. Started to get a bit of momentum, and unfortunately, dislocated the shoulder and had the shoulder reco. And 2014 was just hard to, you know, I know what Gary Ablett's going through at the moment. You think you can do it, but you just held back a bit.
Tight.
Yeah, I had to get another surgery to loosen it off, and I didn't really play my best footy until probably the last 2 months of the last year. So, it was unfortunate. I was looking forward to this year. I was fit as a fiddle. I was training really well, and I was looking forward to the year. But, as I said, it is what it is, and I've moved on, and unfortunately I've had to put the boots up, but I'm pretty confident in where I'm going at the moment.
Well, look, we'll take a quick break. Brent Riley, do a lap. What do you know whether you're going to do a lap or anything like that? They haven't too soon.
Yeah, too soon, mate. I guess we'll organise that maybe tomorrow or Friday.
Hey, tell us a bit about Walshy. You're working closely with him. How good he's been to the club?
Oh, he's been a breath of fresh air for our footy club. He's come in and set some pretty solid ground rules. He's a hard worker. He's a bit of an old school style coach, but knows the modern game very well. He's very similar to Craigie, the way he coached. Yeah. He's just got that better coaching nous than Craigie. I'm not saying Craigie was a bad coach, but just saying he's knows the game a bit better.
Yeah, he's got those crazy eyes, that hard edge. Yep. But he can have a good laugh. The boys that come in say, hey, don't worry, it's not all, you know.
He's actually a very funny guy.
Oh, please.
He is. He's very, very witty. He's very quick. And
a bit like Craigie was like that.
Yeah. But he's been fantastic for our club, and I think he's going to be there for a long time.
Now, got a question from a listener. Daniel's emailed in, and he said, Brent, what are you going to do with your Guernsey? Are you just going to let the club give it to a draftee next year, or are you going to pass it on to someone who's already at the club? Now, Daniel says, I'd personally like to see you pass it on to Brody Smith. Both halfback flankers, both started with 33 before moving to number 3. Have you thought about that?
No, I haven't. No.
Well, there you go. Daniel might be able to give you a little head start.
Huge number.
Maybe me and you, Ro, we can have a chat later, and we can pick out
custodians.
We'll get Jars in there too, and we'll have a chat. Chris Massey.
There you go.
Bit of a group session.
We are a group. The number 3 stick together, mate.
Has it been a few over the duration?
34. So me, Darren Jarman. Now, I'd still be at the club if Darren Jarman didn't. You know that story, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, righto. So Darren was lured back to the club. I was wearing number 3.
Yeah.
And they said, Fudd, what do you want? He said, well, I want Kangaroo Island, I want 100 Jacks, I want a Powell's Liquor, and I want number 3. They go, well, who's number 3, Roey? All right. Right, was frog marched out the door. Just that's the story, but you don't believe me, do you?
Oh, I don't. But
hey,
funny.
There's another listener question here, 1-999-1395. If you want to speak to Radar, we've got a little bit of time, 8223-0000. You're a Victorian. Have you got any advice to the Victorians that are out of contract that are yet to sign?
Oh, it's up to them. We've set the stone for our footy club. We've got a great culture down there. We've got some new coaching staff. We've got some players that are showing some really good signs, like blokes like Jake Lever and Jack Kelly, and you can name them all. But I think it's all up to them. I'd love for them to stay, But, you know, I just hope that the club can do everything they can for them to stay.
And what would you say to Rory if he got 1.5 mil a year to St Kilda? Because Bick said, just see ya. He would actually drive him to the airport.
Oh, well, he's getting much money, he'd have to go. But I hope he doesn't. He's a great club man. And he's actually a ripping bloke.
Mm. He is.
Hey, Brent, I noticed in the press release the club put out, there's a mention in there that you're going to be doing some work with the South Australian Medical Research Institute. What's that going to involve?
Yeah, I'll be doing some stuff in the mind and brain. Obviously, following my injury, I've got a bit of an interest of the brain now and doing some nutrition themes there too. So I don't know the extent of that at the moment. We've just sort of briefly spoken about it, but they're keen for me to be involved in that.
It's great. How do I get sharper with my brain?
Oh,
I've spent 6 months. Well, retention of knowledge and all those sort of things, it's a big question. Bit. So it's actually a serious one.
You can do brain training, Stephen. Yep. Those, play those little games.
Eat spinach.
I've been doing that.
Have
brain
you done?
Training. Yeah. Yep.
So what does that entail?
Just apps on your phone.
Okay.
Yeah, a bit of, I've been doing Lumosity, Elevate and Peak I've been doing. Yeah.
Is that part of the rehabilitation process or is that just something you're...
It's just personal, I just chose to do it because, the brain did a bit of a hit and I just chose to do it just so I get a bit sharper and maybe you can start doing it, right?
Mate, you look sharp. You don't have to get any sharper to me, Radar. Jimmy, you want to have a chat to Brent Riley?
Yeah, g'day, fellas. G'day, Brett, on a wonderful career.
Thanks, mate.
But my first recollection of you was the first game that Neil Craig was coach and you were playing at Football Park and you kicked the ball from halfback flank to a teammate in the centre. And I said to the mate next to him, I said, did you see that? You kicked it on the outside of your right leg and it was centimetre perfect and it was with such coolness and aplomb. And you've played like that for the rest of your career. And it's been a credit that you've done everything with such ease, but you've always hit a teammate with a hand or a foot, and it's been poetry in motion.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for your support, mate.
Jimmy, and, we'll give you a double, mate, to the Adelaide St Kilda game. How about that?
All right. Thanks a lot, Rory.
Well done, Jimmy.
Thanks,
all
Jimmy.
Yours. And we'll put him also in the draw for that 5AA locker room upgrade. you can't encapsulate your career in one moment, but I called the game, and we've had a number of texts and emails say this. It was the Sydney game at the SCG. It was a come-from-behind win. It was a courageous win. It was an important time of the year. A long ball came into the forward 50 at the SCG. You ran back with the flight of the ball. You jumped in the air, inverted, took the most courageous mark, pushed off the man, played on, laid it out in the middle of the corridor. We went on to kick a goal and win the game. And I think that sums you up. Courage, skill, team first, and all the things we love about you, Reno. So, mate, thanks for your time.
Thanks, boys.
I know it's emotional for you to leave, and it is. I mean, number three. Look at Bix tearing up.
I'm not tearing up.
Well, Reno nearly
is. Well, you remember that?
That's why I'm facing the other way.
Yeah, you do. Because I love the emotion in you, Bix, and so is Reno. Can you remember that?
Yeah, I can. It was obviously a bit of a highlight, but it's actually funny. You look at that vision and Brian O'Keefe's at our footy club now, and that was who it was against, and me and him become pretty close. So it's bizarre how things turn and footy, it's just so small. It's such a small world.
Well, to you and Jamie, your family, mate, thanks a lot. All the best and thanks for coming in.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for all your support.
Well done, mate.